Hi, everyone, and welcome to Documentation Station. I'm Steve Welton. Thank you for joining me here on this podcast, which focuses on topics helpful to behavioral health clinicians. I hope you'll find today's episode valuable and maybe even a little entertaining. If you want to learn more about me and my consulting practice, you can find me at weltonconsulting.com. As we consider documenting treatment, a continuing challenge many clinicians struggle with is how to define interventions within the context of the treatment plan, and then how those then show up in progress notes, or should they even show up in progress notes at all? So let's talk about interventions today. What are interventions anyway? If you've heard any of my trainings on the topic of treatment planning or other podcasts where I've discussed the topic of treatment plan structure, then you'll know I see the main material of the plan includes generally three parts. The first part of the treatment plan are the goals. Goals are the things that will get accomplished through the course of treatment, which will signify that treatment has come to its conclusion. They are based on the initial assessment and typically focused on the symptom reduction or functional improvements necessary for the client to improve. They are directly related to the medical necessity for the client to need treatment in the first place. Since goals are the big items, the things that will normally take a long while to achieve and so difficult for the client to work on altogether, we break that goal into pieces that we call objectives. These are smaller pieces that the client will achieve or master, which will ultimately lead to the goal. Put another way, if reaching the goal is the destination, then the objectives are the waypoints along the way. A while back, I talked a bit about SMART goals. If you listen to that podcast, you know all of the pieces that make the objective effective. If you haven't listened to that one, I would encourage you to take some time to listen to it. So, the goals are the endpoint, and the objectives are the points along the way. This is what the client is doing or achieving. The interventions, then, are what you're doing. For at least some of you listening, you're thinking, right, I'm doing CBT or CPT or EMDR or something else, you know. My interventions. But that's really not what it means. Imagine for a moment you went into the hospital with tremendous abdominal pain and your physician said, yep, you have pain. You need surgery. Now you ask, well, what kind of surgery? What's wrong with me? You have pain. It will be surgery. Doesn't really rise to the level of confidence one might want to have. If I'm having surgery, I kind of want to know what's wrong with me, what's going to happen to me, and what recovery is going to look like. Or let's say for a moment that we're completely outside of the healing arts. Let's imagine, say, we are, I don't know, carpentry coaches, you know. We coach people who want to build their own home by hand. But let's say that the client doesn't know anything about the use of any of the tools, so we're going to have to teach them. I know. Some of you have never built a house before. Actually, me neither. But most of us have been around or driven past a construction site, and maybe we've done something handy around the house, you know, hung a painting on the wall, or fixed a sink, or filled a hole. So we should be able to imagine this for a moment. So, the goal is build a wood frame house. The objectives, the short-term goals, would be the parts of the process. One of the objectives is going to be client will build the wooden frame of the house. But maybe the client doesn't know the correct use of the hammer for carpentry. Like the real world us, they've hung pictures on a wall, but they've not actually built anything. So the objective before building the frame would need to be client will learn the effective use of a carpentry hammer. Okay, so then what's the intervention? Simply saying hammer doesn't quite make sense, but you also don't want to go into some great detail, sentences long, about the ins and outs of what you're going to do. You need to find a place in the middle. So let's say you're an advocate of the bender hammering method. It's great on the hands and wrists, and it's effective in driving nails. So that's what you're going to use to teach this vital skill. So the intervention becomes introduce and practice use of bender hammering method. Well, I know these are different circumstances, and I realize that there are more variants involved in psychotherapy. But that doesn't change the reality that most of your clients will want to have some understanding of what you're going to be doing together and how you are going to get them from point A to point B. What you are going to give them in order to accomplish the objectives you have planned for them. Of course, some clinicians solve this whole problem with two approaches. One, they don't share the treatment plan with their client. That way, they don't need to be overwhelmed by what we have in store for them. Or two, they don't create a treatment plan in the first place. That way, you're both surprised by the direction. I've seen numbers that as many as 40% of clinicians do not regularly construct a treatment plan for their clients. Ever. I realize there are clinicians who believe that treatment plans are a waste of time, that they are not important or effective. I'll continue to stand on the other side of this argument in the belief that a well-developed treatment plan can be among your most powerful tools in your arsenal towards effective psychotherapy. But getting deep into that argument is not my intention today. So let's get back to talking about interventions. There is an expectation that treatment plans are action-oriented. Through the assessment process, we have identified the symptoms and the functional deficits that have built the framework of medical necessity of treatment. Our plan is the structure of how we are going to get the client to the place of addressing these symptoms and deficits. The interventions are then the things we are going to do to help them achieve their goals. And just as we discussed related to learning how to use a hammer, we will use enough language to be specific without writing a paragraph. Let's explore an example a little closer to home. Let's say we have a client with moderate depressive symptoms, not suicidal, but sad and isolated most days. They've had these symptoms before. This latest round of symptoms has been going on for a few months, apparently brought on by the ending of a close friendship. The client is certain that the friendship ended because they weren't interesting enough, and that no one will ever like them, and they feel so alone, and that their boss is going to fire them any day because they don't do a good job, even though they were the employee of the month 2 months ago. Maybe some of the sadness is related to negative self-talk. And the negative self-talk is being fed by a combination of jumping to conclusions and catastrophizing. If the goal of treatment with this client would be to reduce or eliminate their depressive symptoms, and the first objective would be the client will be able to identify and challenge cognitive distorted thinking, the interventions, and there would probably be two here, would be to process with the client their current life experiences to help identify cognitive distortions, and teach techniques to address or challenge cognitive distortions. It's not enough to say CBT, but it's too much to describe a technique developed by Albert Ellis that was he discussed in some book he wrote, including the page number and the publisher. The intervention should be specific, but useful. Developed this way, these interventions will also fit really well into your progress notes as you begin to describe the work in therapy. As you work through the subjective material in the session, mentioning processing through cognitive distortions in a normal part of the work, and it addresses an intervention in the plan. Same thing with teaching the techniques to address or challenge the distortion. That way, you have a clear linkage between the plan and the work in a way that makes sense. The treatment plan is a plan, and not just some scholarly pursuit. It is meant as the blueprint for what we are supporting the client to build. While new clinicians will struggle for a bit to develop an effective plan, and it might require some adjustments over time, an experienced clinician should be able to build an effective treatment plan in 5 or 10 minutes. Particularly in a world where they are built in an electronic health record. Because you can see through the assessment where the challenges are, and you can draw from your experience to identify your best approach. You just have to identify it briefly in your intervention. In a world of receiving payments from insurance companies for services rendered, there is a specific expectation that treatment plans exist and that they are used. But they do not need to be overly complicated. In fact, I would argue that the more complicated the treatment plan, the less apt it is to be used. So don't overload yourself, but build a plan that describes the way forward, that is clear and detailed and brief. This is Documentation Station.